Thanks so much for joining us for the latest episode of Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Educational Podcast. Join us as Michael Merlin, founder of Merlin Wealth Management, and various friends and experts break down complicated financial topics to make them easy to understand. If you'd like more information about Merlin Wealth Management, please visit our website at rcm.rocco.com/Merlin. And with that, here's founder of Merlin Wealth Management and private wealth advisor at Rockefeller Capital Management, Michael Merlin.
Thanks, Tom. And hi, everyone. Welcome to the third edition of the Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Podcast. Excited to be with you today. We do not have a special guest today. It's just going to be yours truly, talking about a subject that is obviously very passionate to me, and that is wealth transfer, more specifically, the famous or maybe now infamous quote that we talk about very often here at MWM, which is shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations. I was recently involved in a marketing exercise, and the overwhelming majority of those involved in this exercise, when they heard the phrase or the quote, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations, had got a cringy look on their faces. And they said, "What? That sounds terrible." And I sat back and thought about it and said, you know, maybe that's the wrong perspective, or maybe that's the wrong way to go about this idea of tackling the mission of an orderly and a effective transfer of wealth or legacy planning, if you will. Maybe the wrong mindset is to go in with this shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves mentality. For those of you who are not aware of the quote, it was coined many years ago as a way of showing that older generations, baby boomers or previous, worked hard and created significant wealth, but that wealth was squandered by the third generation. And one of the misconceptions in that quote is that it was squandered financially, whereas in most cases that those funds were squandered based on other family dynamics or poor planning. And we'll talk about that a little bit more today, because that is obviously a passion and a focus of ours, which is to assist our clients in making sure that does not happen. But I think that sitting back and looking at it, I started thinking that was maybe more of a negative bent, because I think it, when put in front of the patriarch or the matriarch or the wealth creation generation of a family, it seems to put an onus on the next generations as being inadequate or unprepared to inherit the wealth or inherit the responsibilities of what the family business or what the family legacy entails. And I think that's the wrong way to go about it. The process of legacy transfer or wealth transfer is not one to indict the next generations. It's really to help educate and prepare the next generations. And I think while the older generation may worry about possible deficiencies within their next generations, I think it would actually be better to look at what they can bring to the table. A lot of times, whether it's entrepreneurship, innovation, new ideas, creative ideas, I think those are the things that the next generation is dying to bring to the table, but in some cases aren't given the opportunity to. And so I think rather than come at this question with a negative paradigm, what we've seen is that families whose wealth successfully crosses generations are those that focus on the upcoming generation's positive aspects. Again, values orientation, a desire to make a difference, teamwork. And that behavior is typically those that can be fostered to help the process move forward in a very healthy and a very positive way. And so, I actually think it's good to start out by talking about wealth in general. And, you know, I wrote an article in the Atlanta Business Chronicle several years ago, back, I think it was in 2014, where I said that if you asked a random sampling of people to define what wealth is, I think you'd get a variety of responses. And I think that's because wealth is only partially defined by the amount of money that anyone has in their bank account, In fact, I think true wealth is often about much more than a bottom line. It's typically about what people value most deeply in life. And so when we work with families on a regular basis, we try to help clients protect their financial assets. But at the same time, we want to help them realize that there are way more components to wealth than just that bottom line. And so the first one that I think is the most important, and I think is one of the key factors in wealth transfer and in legacy transfer, is communicating and imparting the strong sense of values and goals that helped the wealth creating generation be successful and translate that down to the next generations. And I like to ask people when we start going down that process, what got you here? And I find that in most cases, there's an underlying value system that successful people have that guided them toward their achievements. They focus on goals, they focus on systems and process. They are usually maniacal or habitual, if you will, about those systems and processes because they believe in their minds that they made their own luck and that things did not just happen by accident. And obviously all of that is underlied by a sense of hard work or a ethos of hard work and a sense of morality and courage to think differently and to do things differently and to potentially kind of zig when others are zagging. And I think those tenets are core to being passed to the ideals that need to be passed down as wealthy individuals look to incorporate their next generations into whether it's a family business or family planning or just into the activities of the family in general. You know, I feel like focusing on these values and goals is uplifting. Again, it's positive. It also, I think, helps with one of the, I know the wealth creator's biggest fears, which is not killing ambition in the next generation. A conversation about hard work, about a positive mindset, a growth mindset, about being innovative and creative and entrepreneurial, clearly is not one about handouts or about living life in an easy way. It's more of an uplifting conversation, an inspiring conversation about explaining to the next generations how the family became successful, but also ways that they can become successful in their own right. I think one thing that's another misconception is that the next generations are not necessarily as focused on creating their own wealth because of what the family's accomplished. And we find that to be absolutely not true. We find that the next generations are ambitious. They are motivated. They are passionate. They may not even want to pursue the same business interests as the family. They may want to stake their own claim, go out and do their own thing. But I think that in all those cases, the majority of the cases, I should say, the next generations are eager to participate. They're eager to contribute. And I think it's up to the matriarchs, patriarchs, up to the wealth creating generation to allow that to happen in a way that is healthy, in a way that fosters collaboration and mentorship. And one of the best ways to do that, which is the second tenet, if you will, of what we believe to be a successful wealth transfer plan, is a commitment to educate. Back in 2014, when I wrote this article in the Business Chronicle, Morgan Stanley had done a poll that said that 2/3 of Atlanta investors, so anybody in our wonderful city who had more than $100,000 in investable assets, planned to transfer money or other assets to their heirs at some point during their lifetime. And of those investors, almost over half felt that they would transfer at least 50% of their assets, with children being the most favored recipient and charity obviously being the second, and we'll get to charity in a second. So if with this wealth transfer that's coming, and you know, back in 2014, I know the number was about $41 trillion, which was set to change hands between baby boomers and their heirs. Obviously since 2014, markets have increased dramatically. So I'm sure that number is even more staggering today than it was 8 years ago. But there is a staggering amount of wealth that's going to transfer from one generation to the next very, very, very soon. And that generation needs to be prepared. The inheriting generation needs to be prepared uh, for for those events. And I don't think parents in this case would ever want their children to be unprepared for anything. You know, we all get on our kids about being prepared for tests or being prepared for interviews or whatever the case may be. And we get them tutors and we help them with all the resources they possibly need that could get them prepared to take those tests or be successful in those interviews. Yet when it comes to wealth transfer and it comes to financial education, we don't have the same structure or the same same passion, if you will, about making sure that our kids are prepared for this, which is, I think, an equal responsibility and challenge. So I believe strongly, and we here at Merlin Wealth Management and this podcast in and of itself is a testament to that. We try very hard to create financial literacy resources. We have a financial literacy curriculum that we encourage our clients to leverage. It's obviously the 21st century now, and so we want that curriculum to be electronic and easily accessible, taking some of the historical pieces that we've used or some of the slide presentations, if you will, that we've used for financial literacy education in the past, and digitizing those, so whether they live on our website or whether they're done in a podcast or whether they're even done in a series of videos. That's what we're working on today to make that more accessible to our clients. But I feel so strongly that it is important to make that education a pillar of the family mission statement. And you know, beyond just delivering it, I think there needs to be some momentum to it. And one of the ways we've seen that be successful is that we work with a lot of families that have regular family meetings. Those meetings can be around vacations, they can just be in the backyard, they can be over a meal. But in all those cases, they're recurring. People understand what the agenda is gonna be. And in all of them, there is some component of education that is imparted, whether that the family brings in a speaker or whether there's an activity. But there's always an educational element related to either the asset management or investment piece, the estate planning piece, the philanthropic piece, or this best practices piece, if you will, the values and the goals piece. And so we think that that's incredibly important, and we love to be participatory in that part. The other thing I said I would also talk about today a little bit is the philanthropy piece. And I think in conjunction with the education, the philanthropy piece can sometimes be a great place to start with the educational aspects. A lot of times, especially if for some reason the wealth creating generation is a little uncomfortable starting with the big picture, showing, just pulling out the balance sheet and pulling out the asset statements and showing the next generation sort of what everything is, or giving them numbers behind it. Sometimes it's easier to start out with philanthropy and to inform the next generations or to bring them in to the philanthropic mission statement and to bring them into the family's philanthropic endeavors. Because a lot of the same skills we use in building businesses or vetting investments or otherwise managing wealth also apply to effective philanthropy, but in this case, maybe less threatening both to the parents and to the children, because they don't involve, obviously for the parent, they don't involve divulging the extent of the family's assets. And for the kids, I think there's no wrong answer, right? So when, if a next generation brought an investment to the table and the family decided to invest in it and it didn't go well, obviously there's quote unquote perceived consequences to that. On the philanthropic side, I think that's a little bit less threatening, where you may pick a charity that ultimately you may only support for a little while because the mission isn't exactly what you thought or the execution isn't, but it's all going to a good cause. So I think sometimes that is a little bit less alarming for the next generation when they're given a task to participate or to take a sub-account of money from a foundation or a donor advised fund and invest, quote unquote, on the philanthropic side themselves. One of the great parts of that, obviously, is it's a trial run. It gets to show you what type of, quote unquote, wealth managers your kids will be or your next generations will be, who is, for example, the heart, who really is looking for, at things from a from that angle and letting the heart lead the way, who's more cerebral, and who may not even be that interested at all. And I think an exercise in we've seen exercises in philanthropy help bring some clues or bring some ideas to the table and some feedback to the table, and that can really begin at any age that the wealth creating generation feels that the kids are ready or that they're ready to start in that process. I think another important point when we're talking about education or wealth transfer in general is the fact that throughout the process, the wealth creating generation has to be willing to let the younger generation fail. You know, I think all of us, if we've been successful in life in any way, would attest to the fact that we're not successful because we've made all the right decisions, because we haven't made mistakes. But it's more because when we do make those mistakes or we have had those failures, we've learned from them. And I fear sometimes that we are raising a generation, or maybe even two generations, where failure is not allowed. And we help our kids with their homework, or we help them with many, 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 many different types of resources to help them reach success, but potentially not allowing them to fail along the way. And I think that that's a mistake. I think one of those core values we talked about before is the hard work and perseverance and grit, if you will, and having to come back and dust yourself off and do better the next time. I also think that that actually gives the next generation some ownership, right? You know, when we talk about the fact, and there was a Bank of New York Mellon study done back in 2018 that said that 60% of family fortunes are depleted in their study, found based on a lack of communication, a lack of trust, and as I mentioned before, poor financial planning or poor planning in general, or some sort of family dynamics issue within the family. And I believe that some of those issues come up. We just talked about the education and the communication of best practices. But I also think because if the kids are not brought in and are not made part of the process, they don't feel a sense of ownership. And when you don't feel like you own something, or when you don't value it, or you don't think it really belongs to you, I don't think you have the same commitment or the same sense of urgency around protecting it. And so I think that's another key component, right? Connecting the generations. If grandpa or great grandpa is the one who created the wealth, and those best practices have been passed along, the great, great, great grandchildren or the great grandchildren, and even the grandchildren may have a disconnect from where that came from. And therefore they don't really have an appreciation for how much hard work and the journey and the adventure, in some cases, if you will, that it took to get to the place that the family is at today. And therefore, when it's their turn to custody or to shepherd the family wealth or the family legacy, they may not feel the same sense of urgency or the same connection. And so I think it's really important that we connect those generations over and over again. And then that's why the consistent family meetings are important. It's why having a plan to include different generations at different times. As many of you know, we work in most of our family office client situations, we work with three and even four generations of the family. And at this stage, it's really, really satisfying and heartening to me to see those third and in some cases even fourth generations being brought in to the family meetings, being brought into the family succession planning conversations. And even if the family business is potentially looking to be sold, having the next generations weigh in on some of that, or being at least part of the process. It's really amazing to see that evolution, and also really confirming, because in most of these cases where that third and fourth generations are being included, you are seeing an incredibly effective transfer of wealth in those cases. I'll conclude by saying that in the Talmud, which is a book of Jewish law, the Talmud defines a rich person as someone who appreciates what they have. And, you know, I really think that at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to help our clients achieve. I think they've all worked incredibly hard. I wrote an article, as you all know, many months ago about the hourglass syndrome, which is, you know, once we've achieved and now we're sort of reaping the fruits of our labor, it's really hard sometimes to step back and say, wow, you know, am I really not supposed to be going into the office every day? Or am I really not supposed to be managing this or getting all the, what happened to all the urgent emails I was always getting? And sometimes there's some floundering that goes on with that. And that's something that the wealth creator has to work on and find other ways to channel their energy. And this is one incredible way, or one incredibly important place for that to happen. The mentorship of the next generations, being that wise counselor, I think is what the Talmud was talking about when it talked about being appreciative of what you have, but also as many of us know, you know, Jewish law also and Jewish philosophy also talks about having a responsibility. And some of that responsibility is philanthropic, and some of it is I think part of the educational piece. And so, you know, we like to watch our clients or assist them at least in making sure that those things happen, you know, over the course of time, and watch how those things evolve, and ultimately hope that at the end of the day they feel a balance. They feel a balance between achievement. They feel a balance between fulfillment. The heart, the head, all get what they need, and you know, family at the same time, which is the most important thing to all of us, is also put in a very advantageous, strong, and healthy position to continue those the success of the family going forward. So that's our podcast for today. I hope that even though we're going to call it Shirt Sleeves to Shirt Sleeves, that doesn't leave a negative connotation. And I think we're going to change that paradigm and come up with a different and a better quote going forward to talk about legacy and wealth transfer. So thanks again for your attention and for your participation in our podcast. Always thank you for your support. And we'll talk to you again soon on podcast number 4.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Educational Podcast. For more information on Merlin Wealth Management, please visit our website at rcm.rocco.com/Merlin. Please stay tuned for an important legal disclaimer. This recording is provided for informational purposes only and is not an offer to buy or sell or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any security or to participate in any investment strategy and should not be interpreted to constitute a recommendation with respect to any security or investment plan. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the presenters as of the date of this recording, may not be current, and are subject to change and are general in nature. Rockefeller Capital Management has no obligation to provide any updates or changes. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Rockefeller Capital Management and may differ from the views and opinions of other departments or divisions of Rockefeller Capital Management and its affiliates. Rockefeller Capital Management is not providing any financial, economic, legal, accounting, or tax advice or recommendations in this podcast. The information is not individualized. You should review any planned financial transactions or arrangement that may have tax, accounting, or legal implications with your personal professional advisors. Rockefeller Capital Management does not guarantee the accuracy or reliability of the information provided in this podcast, and any liability, therefore, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. No investment strategy can guarantee profit or protection from loss. Future results may vary substantially from past performance. Investing involves risk, including a risk of loss. This recording may not be copied, reproduced, or distributed in whole or in part for any purpose without prior written consent. Rockefeller Capital Management is the marketing name of Rockefeller Capital Management LP and its affiliates. Merlin Wealth Management is part of Rockefeller Financial LLC, a broker-dealer and investment advisor duly registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, member Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and Securities Investor Protection Corporation. The registrations and memberships mentioned in no way imply the SEC has endorsed the entities, products, or services discussed herein. Additional information is available upon request.